Live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, indeed. We are back once again with the illest of behaviours for the Sunday sermon. It is time to talk about ghosts. Hooray, for we need to. You'll notice by the clarity in recording and the lack of Becca that Becca isn't here. They're the two things that give it away. She will be back next weekend. We will record next weekend's episode on a Sunday. And that will be the day after the paranormal quiz. Yes, the third paranormal quiz. Close Inquisitors of the Third Kind. That's what I've called it. You see what I've done there? Because it's the third. Yeah. Very clever, Kevin. Very clever. But basically, Becca will return a week today. You lucky, lucky things. If you want to take part in the quiz, by the way, you just need to go over to the Facebook page, facebook.com/talkaboutghosts, next Saturday, the 9th of May, at 8 p.m. GMT, which stands for Greenwich Mean Time. Yes. Or Granny's Meaty Todger, as it did during the week. So, we have plenty of stories to scare ourselves silly with, and we are indeed going to do that. We've also had a lot of correspondence from you guys, so thank you very much. Don't forget, guys, if you want to send your story in for me to read out, then do, and I will, for that's how it works. You can send that to contact@talkaboutghosts.com. Okay, should we find out what things that are weird have been happening within the world? I think we shall. That was a Dalek.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, the piano is playing, so therefore it's time to discuss weird things that have taken place in the world as we know it in the last 7 days. Well, in the last week, obviously we don't mention the C word around here, but we are all aware that people have been asked to stay indoors. Fair enough. But that does mean that a lot of places are now empty. One such empty place is the National Airport of Colombia, the country. Yes. Now, one of the workers there has filmed what he believes to be a ghost in the now empty terminal, namely in the toilets of the empty terminal, the female toilets of the empty terminal. Why he was in there, I don't know. He was in there because he's a worker and he heard noises. Now, the clip, if you basically, you need to Google this, just put into Google Colombia Airport Ghost and you'll see it. It'll be one of the top choices there. I'm seeing it on a site called Pop Crush. Anyway, when you watch it, it is kind of scary. He goes into the toilet and, like, the taps come on by themselves, then the hand dryers come on by themselves, and that's all relatively scary, but you could say, you know, they all run off sensors. And I don't trust sensors, really. But then the cubicle door flies open and a black shape seems to come in and then run back, come out and run back in. And it is rather scary, so do search for that. It's very scary. The guy absolutely poos his pants, which is a fortunate place to be, really, when you think about it. But it's genuinely scary, so check that out. But it did make me think, there's going to be a lot of empty places now. So, I don't know, shall we all go out with our cameras and just start going, excuse me, can I come into your big empty arena, please? I just want to take some cameras to send them into a podcast I listen to. I don't think we get very far, but if you'd like to try that, by all means, be my guest. So, that's enough for this week's Week in Weird.
Week in Weird.
And we're back. As ever, I want to say a big, massive thank you, a massive, major thank you to all of our wonderful Patreons who help keep the show afloat, literally, in these times. And I especially want to say thank you to our new patrons. They, of course, get an extra episode every week when this one's released. Normally it contains me and Becca chatting the breeze about something spooky. And she is going to join me on this week's one also. When I finish this, I'm going upstairs to record it, whether she wants to or not. But also you get a lot of additional audio like we've been putting out on the standard feed too. So if you want to become a Patreon, and why wouldn't you, you need to go along to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. Okay, but let's say thank you to our new Patreons by the medium of song. The guitar's out, and we have two wonderful new Patreons to thank this week via song. They are the wonderfully named Johnny Carr and Victoria Scott. And let's do a White Album Beatles-style song, shall we? Yes, let's. Oh, there we go.
Johnny Carr and Victoria Scott, I want to say thank you. Thank you a lot. Johnny Carr and Victoria Scott, yeah, I want to say thank you,
like you were loved. Johnny, you can drive my car. Victoria, you can drive my Scott, eh? I wanna say thank you, yeah, thank you a lot for signing up to Patreon.
There you go. Got a bit weird that, didn't it? But a big thank you to our new Patreons. Don't forget, if you want to be a Patreon, go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts, and you'll get all that extra content, and we'll have a bit of a laugh together. Today's Patreon episode will, of course, feature Becca. We'll no doubt have an argument. It may be fun. So go over if you want to hear that stuff. Now let's get to some ghosts, shall we? And before we do that, you know what I was meaning to say to you guys, because you're my paranormal friends, and unsurprisingly, a lot of my friends aren't into the paranormal. So I want to check with you guys. I've noticed that in this kind of lockdown that we're in, my childhood excitement for reading a good ghost story has gone up massively. And I don't know whether it's because I now have more time to indulge in it. And I think that possibly could be the case. But I'm finding myself properly relaxing into a ghost story now and taking the time to absorb it like I used to as a kid. And I'm all about it. I love it. And I hope that you're enjoying that too. So let me know if that's the case or if I'm just being a bit of a weirdo with it. So in news about my friends also, it dawned on me. I basically done Zoom interview for Real Life Ghost Stories Patreon, which was wonderful. Obviously speaking to the wonderful Emma and Dan. And it was dead good. We had a laugh, as per. And yeah, it made me think, you know what? That was really nice to do. Very easy. And I thought, I've got a few of my mates, basically, and a few of Becca's mates who have got amazing stories, which I keep alluding to and never get round to doing them. So it made me think, I'm going to make a concerted effort to do some Skype-y sort of recordings and get people telling their stories. One of the guys I'm going to have on was Neil, who we had on a Halloween. You remember he had some really terrifying stories. And I recorded him outside with the lapel mic, and it was raining and blowing a gale. And it wasn't a very good recording. And he's still got loads more to tell. So I'm going to get him on as a test, because he's kind of shown an interest in doing it. But then there's other people that I want to get on too. So that could be interesting, couldn't it? Yes, it could, everybody said in unison. So let's get to the first of today's stories. And our first story today is from the wonderful Lucy White. You may know Lucy from previous shows where she sent in the links about all the hauntings in her area. Well, I did want to keep hold of this email until I was doing an episode with Becca, but I don't think it's right on Lucy to do that because she sent it in a while back. So I'm going to read it out today. So Lucy writes in the following story, and it is brilliant. Hi, Kevin and Beck. Hi.
Hi.
I hope you are well. We are, thank you. I have a Stratford-upon-Avon ghost experience for you, which is the town I grew up in and then moved away from to go to university. Well, let's hear it, Lucy. This was an encounter both myself and my then boyfriend Peter experienced in the bridal suite of the Falcon Hotel in town. I had not been dating Peter long. He did become my husband later, and sadly is now my ex. In brackets, I have happily remarried now a great guy called Alex. Oh, that's nice. The date was December 95, and we slept one night at the hotel. Whilst I was introducing Peter to my hometown, I was 23 and he was 24. There were three interconnecting rooms to the suite, with a sitting room, bedroom with a four-poster bed, and a short corridor to the bathroom. The Falcon Hotel is old, built around the same time Shakespeare's daughter's house was, which stands across the street from the window of our room, called New Place. Shakespeare had a house built in her garden, which was demolished many, many years ago. So after dinner, we went to bed and fell asleep about midnight. I woke up about 2 a.m. and immediately thought I was still dreaming and having a nightmare. So I tried to scream to wake myself up, hoping Peter would wake too and the nightmare would stop. Apparently, he woke up as I was making a whimpering noise. So much for screaming. He told me I was having a bad dream and held me till I went back to sleep. I will never forget what I saw, though, in my nightmare. It was the Hat Man. My lord, do I love a good Hat Man story? Yes, I do. This is very reminiscent of another story about an old hotel we had, about a year and a bit ago. But it was a similar thing, you know, the Hat Man just wandering in. I love Hat Man stories. It's like a proper trope, isn't it? Anyway, back to your tale. But I'd never heard of him then, or even read about him in paranormal books, etc. He was at least 7 feet tall, wearing a cloak and a Clint Eastwood-type Western hat. He had been bending over my sleeping boyfriend, staring intently, and was all black, no visible features, but I could not see through him. He disappeared when Peter woke up, so we both slept till morning. I got out of bed and walked past Peter, who was facing the window, asleep. Daylight was streaming through the curtains, and I walked down the corridor to the bathroom. The next thing I knew, Peter came dashing into the bathroom too. I asked him what was wrong. He said he woke up as I passed him, but instead of seeing the window, when he opened his eyes, he realised that there was a huge shadowy man next to him with a hat. Just a shadow, no features. As I got to the corridor, the man shot down the corridor after me, so Peter leapt up to chase him. He disappeared. Peter's a policeman, so not given to flights of fancy. We both had no idea what we experienced, and therefore asked at breakfast if the room was haunted. The hotel told us there had been a ghost seen in that room before, but the last time was in the 60s, and they gave us a discount for the disturbed night. I hope you enjoyed this account. I did. I saw nothing as I passed him in the morning, but the fact we both experienced something fascinates me. I'll send you more encounters soon. Take care, Lucy White. Thank you very much, Lucy. That's amazing. You know what it's just jogging my memory of as well? No word of a lie. A paranormal encounter, or arguably a paranormal encounter, which I have seriously always written off to childhood daydreams or childhood nightmares, should I say. But I vividly recall my mum and my dad going out to a nightclub or whatever else. A nightclub. God, they weren't teenagers, but you know, they went out for a drink basically. And my brother was looking after us. And when I say looking after us, me and my younger sister, who's a year younger than me. I've got an elder brother as well, who's about 6 years older than me. So he was babysitting. But obviously at a certain point, mum and dad still went back and he went to bed as well. So the three of us were all asleep. And I got up to go to the toilet and looked over the banister because I heard a noise. And when I looked down, it was raining outside and I could see a hat man from above, wearing like a waterproof cloak, and he was shaking it off in the hall. And I remember thinking, oh, mum and dad must have brought someone else back with them for some reason. And he was shaking it off in the hall. And then, so I tiptoed back to bed thinking like, I don't want whoever the stranger is to know that I'm up as well. And I got back into bed. And as soon as I got back into bed, the key went in the front door and mum and dad came in. And I went to the top of the stairs and went, are you with anyone? And they were like, no, go back to bed. And it always stuck with me that. I think I initially told myself that maybe it was like a drunk who just let himself in and went, oh my God, I'm in the wrong house. But then you think, you can't just walk into our house, it was locked. But anyway, Lucy, Hatman stories, Hatmandu, that's where they're from. Terrifying, absolutely love them. This trope, again, it could be like a Tulpa thing, couldn't it? Like what Slenderman is, in my opinion. But yeah, if you've got a Hatman story, do send it in. But thank you, Lucy. That was great. And to say, Lucy, as well, we have received your other stories. Thank you very much for sending them in. And we'll hopefully do them next week with Becky. Yes. Anyway, let's have another scary story. Our next story comes in from a repeat senderinner, if that's a thing. And it's the wonderful Chris Murphy. You remember his story from a week or two ago. It was terrifyingly good. So he sent another one in. He says, hi, Kevin Becker. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for reading out my story last week. As I said, I have more stories, so this one email is going to be a bunch of small instances that have happened at my parents' house that my parents, as well as my brother and sister, and many of our friends have experienced over the last 35 years. Also, two nights ago, both my wife and I swear someone walked into our bedroom. Figuring it was one of the kids, my wife called out, but there was no answer, and the door closed, so more on that as it develops. Now, onto the stories. The first one happened when I was an infant. My mother was in the kitchen with me. The stairs to the basement are in the kitchen. She remembers standing at the top of the stairs and hearing the sound of someone typing, like on a keyboard or a typewriter. Now, it being 1984, we didn't have a computer and my parents didn't own a typewriter. She called our neighbour over and the two of them stood at the top of the stairs listening to the typing sound. Years later, when I was in my late teens, I'd usually be the last one to head to bed. I'd be in the basement most of the time. I'd get upstairs, and when I would be standing in the bathroom, I would hear the same typing from downstairs. In brackets, you can hear from the hole around the vent in the floor of the bathroom straight down to the basement. I know that there was no one down there, having just come upstairs. Also, for as long as I can remember, when coming upstairs from the basement, I'd always be running. My dad would ask why I was running and I couldn't explain it, but I always felt like someone was coming up behind me. I think we've all had that, haven't we? At some point, you've been afraid of running. But get onto this. Here's a weird one. You know, when I lived on my own, or with my dad, should I say, when I still lived with my parents, like everybody I'm sure has experienced this, you're the last person to go to bed. You turn everything off downstairs and you're going upstairs and you start running because you think there's someone behind you. Now, that's going from down to up. Like in Chris's story, you're downstairs, you're going from down to up. Something's going to chase you up the stairs. Where we live now, it's a duplex, so the living room's upstairs and the bedrooms are downstairs. And I run downstairs. I'm 40 years of age, and I'm not afraid to tell you that I run downstairs. Not every time, but, you know, sometimes I'm like, it's a bit eerie up here. And I run downstairs to the bedroom. I wonder whether, is it that we find safety in the bedroom? And doesn't matter whether you're going up or downstairs to the bedroom. Do you think it's because it's dark where you've just left, so something could leap out? Or is it something else? We just don't know, do we? But I bet you've all experienced that too. Anyway, back to Chris's wonderful story. My parents, siblings, and I have also heard from downstairs someone open and close the front door, walk upstairs, or someone walking on the basement stairs. Thinking one of us had just come home, whoever was in the basement would call out, "Hello," and there'd be no answer. Then they'd go and check, and there'd be no one upstairs, and the front door would be locked. I've also experienced the sensation that someone is standing behind me, watching while I'd be playing video games, where I've honestly said out loud, "If you're going to watch, at least sit on the couch." Also, there's been a lot of COTEP in the basement. Just to say, as we all know, COTEP, corner of the eye phenomena. A friend of my brother's asked, "Is it normal to see a child out of the corner of your eye?" To which my brother replied, "So much so that we don't even acknowledge it anymore." Now, we've had a friend over who's rather energy sensitive, and she has also seen a young boy. I've looked into the history of the house, and it was built in 1957. Up until that point, the area used to be mostly summer cottages and started being built post-World War II, so nothing out of the ordinary. One night, once again, I'm the last one to bed, and I'm laying down watching the clock, not being overly tired. It's around 3 in the morning, my usual bedtime pre-kids. As I lay there, I heard someone walking down the hallway towards the kitchen. Figuring one of my parents or my sister is going to get a drink of water or take an aspirin, so I'm listening, waiting for them to walk back down the hall. I waited a good 10 minutes and nothing, so I get up to check. Now, my brother and I shared a room, so I knew it wasn't him. Open the door, check both my sister's room and my parents' room, and they're still sound asleep. I remember saying to myself, "Nope, not dealing with this right now," and I went back to bed. Most recently, my parents and siblings have heard what sounds like rummaging through things coming from the basement while sitting in the kitchen. And my dad has gone to look but can't find a source. Our energy-sensitive friend has also told us that we have a fairy portal at the base of the basement stairs. So there's that. Sorry if it's a little long, but I wanted to make sure I didn't forget anything. Hope you guys are staying safe. Oh, I've also started listening to the Ghost Story Guys because of your podcast. I'll write in soon with more stories. Until then, keep up the great work. By the way, I love the German midpoint. Why, danke schön, Chris. That's good also that you found the Ghost Story Guys through me. That's a bit of a nice thing to know. But wow, what a series of stories. You definitely live in a haunted house. Run away, find two priests. We know their ages and what they need to be. One's young, one's old. But that is terrifying, that, Chris. Fairy portal at the bottom of the stairs, though. Can we stretch your suspension of belief that far? A suspension of disbelief, even. I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know about fairies. I just don't know. I mean, when I say fairies, by the way, I don't mean like Cottingley fairies, you know, like things that you see on Disney and stuff. I mean, like, I like to think of fairies as like evil fairies. You know, like, they don't care whether they kill someone or whether they marry someone. They're just complete ambivalent of feeling. And they're about 6 foot tall, all white. Hello. Yes. Yes, let's kill. Yes. That sort of fairy is my type of fairy, so I hope you haven't got one of them portals at the bottom of your stairs, because you should leave or set fire to the place, you know. Just in case the police listen, that was not an instruction that I'm hoping they carry out. But if you've got a story like Chris's, doesn't have to involve any of that stuff, send it in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and I will, of course, read it out. So, as Chris has just said, he loves a German midpoint. I love a German midpoint. I don't know anyone who doesn't love a German midpoint. So let's have one. Hooray! Wenn es den Midpoint, ein Midpoint ist in meinen Hausen. Yes, it is indeed. It's time for our good old Midpoint. Hey, I think I've just made up a joke. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's not racist. It's a German joke, of course. Here we go. So, A German person came up to me and said, "Excuse me, bist du know the emergency services number for the UK?" And I said, 999. And he said, "Okay, calm down. If you don't know, you don't know." See what I mean there? Nine being no for German. No for German? German for no, even. I hope you're all well. It is the midpoint. Yes, I want to tell you more about this quiz that we're going to do on Saturday. It's the third one, and it may well be the final one. I think it will be the final one, if I'm being honest. Several reasons for that. One, let's be honest, it's looking a bit better, isn't it? C word wise, it's looking like there's a chance, you know, fingers crossed. That's all I'll say on it. So there may not be many more, you know, reasons to do sort of lockdowny quizzes. So it may be the last one. So please do come and join myself and Rebecca whilst we quiz. Is that quiz isn't a verb, is it? Whilst we quiz. But join us whilst we quiz. It was a laugh the last two times we've done it. We've got drunk and we've had a big laugh. It's just been really funny, I thought. Mainly because of you guys. You guys have made it so. All the interaction that we have and the banter. I hate the word banter. I want to set fire to it. But, you know, unfortunately, that word does fit. The banter that we had made it worthwhile. So please come and join us again this Saturday the 9th at 8 p.m. GMT. Granny's Meaty Todger. And we will all have a laugh again. Yeah, sounds good. And don't forget, if you've got any suggestions for the quiz or if you've got any questions that you want to submit, yes, we're already starting to receive quite a lot of listener suggestions and questions. You can send them to contact@talkaboutghost.com. Just entitle the subject a quiz so we know to prioritise it. Okay, I think that's about it for the midpoint. That's all I wanted to tell you, yes. And let's get back to some scary stories, yes. See you on t'other side. And we are back. Back once again with the illest of behaviours. I've got terrible heartburn, me, you know. I think it's because I've had nothing but coffee. I've lived on coffee today. Oh, and about six shredded wheat. Yeah, six. I like to crush them all up in the bowl so that I'm just eating basically mush. Mmm, yummy. And I covered it in sugar. Yes, because I'm 12. Okay, should we get more scariness on the go? I think we shall. And our next email comes in from the wonderful person, Jay Adams. Hello, Jay. And Jay writes in, he's written in before, you may recall, he writes in with an email called Theme Tune. He says, "Hi, Kev." Hi. This is a story featuring your podcast, but I'm not sure if it's in the supernatural field or not. Well, let's see. In late November last year, I was staying in a small country town in a two-bedroom modern unit with my brother. We'd gone there for my mother's birthday. I fell asleep on the Saturday night about 11 o'clock, but before that, I'd been listening to podcasts on my phone and a small set of mini speakers. I turned everything off and plugged it into the power because I had to charge the phone and speakers up for the trip back home. So everything was turned off, plugged in, and I went to sleep. Now around 3 a.m, in brackets, because everything always happens at 3 a.m, I woke up and the curtains on the window were banging, and it seemed like the room and the bed were shaking. When I'd gone to sleep, there was a storm away on the horizon, and it had finally arrived with a bang. It did seem to me, though, that the curtains were banging and things seemed to be shaking much more than just from a storm. I had a thought. I wonder if this place is haunted. Immediately at that thought, the opening chords of your theme tune blared out of the mini speakers. I leapt up and turned them off because my brother was asleep in the next room. It really made my heart race to suddenly blast out like that, and it took me a while to go back to sleep, especially as there was a noisy storm outside. Now, what's strange about this whole incident is everything was turned off when I went to sleep. Also, there were no new episodes of your podcast. I'd finished them all. This was the starting of the last Talk About Ghosts podcast that I'd listened to. But the setting on the phone is to delete the podcast after they've been played. So somehow, the phone had turned itself on and downloaded and started playing an already played podcast all by itself. Somehow the speakers had also managed to turn themselves on and Bluetooth connect to my phone by themselves. I wasn't even listening to your podcast when I turned everything off. As I say, I was all up to date and was listening to another podcast that wasn't even ghost themed. It was a Hollywood crime scene podcast. I had a very Becker philosophy about the whole thing. Why would these units be haunted? They were probably built in the early 90s. I didn't have any sort of feelings or premonitions about anything before this incident. The oncoming electrical storm probably turned everything on and did some weird things. Even though the units were across the road from the cemetery, no one has been buried there since the mid-70s. The only connection I can make is I asked, in my mind, is this place haunted? I was immediately answered with music. That means to me, we need to talk about ghosts. Thanks for doing the extra episodes and quizzes and everything you're doing at this time. I'm loving that Becca's appearing more on the pod. You two are hilarious together. My only suggestion is on the next quiz, she could do a few rounds by herself.
I say, Jay. Never heard the likes of it.
But it's a very good suggestion. And I see, Jay, that you've also sent in a potential round for her to do. So thank you sincerely for that, mate. That's brilliant. But what a story. You know, that's only the second ghost story that we've had, or spooky story that we've had, that have featured this very podcast. You may remember the other one that absolutely blew my mind the other week. But again, is this podcast haunted? I don't know. I will say this though, Jay, that is terrifying to say that, like, you know, you've woke up mid-storm. It sounds scary anyway, to wake up mid-storm opposite the cemetery, and it doesn't matter whether it's this podcast or not, to have anything blaring out through some speakers that are turned off is exceptionally weird, I do grant you. But yeah, I don't know. But isn't it, it's also fascinating if it was caused by the electrical storm, isn't it? I think there's so much that we don't know about the earth and electricity and what it can do, that, you know, if a storm has turned on all your appliances, that's supernatural in itself, isn't it? Literally supernatural. But Jay, thank you very much for that story, mate. That was fantastic. Wow, wow, wee, wow. Okay, let's have another. Our next email comes in from Mindy Windholz, and she writes, and this subject line is from Sir with love. Ooh, okay. I joke. She says, hi, Kevin and Becca. Hi.
Hi.
Thank you so much for creating such an entertaining and fun podcast. You're very welcome. I bring you with me when I go on my daily walks, and you always give me something extraordinary to ponder. I like your politics, music discussions, and balance of faith, in brackets, as Kevin defines it, and logic, in brackets, which Becca provides. She certainly does. I also really enjoyed the trivia nights. Well, tune in next Saturday. Yes, Mindy. First, I wanted to share how excited I was to hear Amanda's story about the Brown Grand Theatre in Concordia. I grew up not far from the Concordia and actually performed at theatre when I was a senior in high school. The girls' small ensemble honours group performed the medley from Sister Act, complete with Habits. Ooh. We were delighted when we were told there were actual nuns in the audience. It's a beautiful venue with great acoustics and reportedly quite haunted. Very good. Secondly, I'd like to share a story that is a bit spine-tingling, but also ends on a hopeful note. A few years ago, my family and I moved to St. Louis. We found a lovely ranch-style home built in 1973 and purchased it from the original owner. My husband and I had two small children and I ran an in-home daycare, so there was always a lot of energy. My eldest child, who was 4 at the time, began to talk about seeing a man in the basement. He described him as friendly, wearing a Hawaiian print shirt with dark hair and a moustache. Is this Magnum PI? It does sound a bit like Magnum PI. Do you know Magnum wears no socks? That was actually graffiti by where I lived. Someone that took took a spray can and spray painted on a wall. Magnum PI wears no socks. Genuine. I mean, have you got nothing better to graffiti? Anyway. So, there's a man, moustache, dark hair, Hawaiian shirt. He had an active imagination, but I kept note. As I've always said, I would believe a child who told me about paranormal occurrences. In brackets, I'm an 80s kid, after all raised on horror movies and Unsolved Mysteries, a classic American TV show that taught us to fear white vans with no windows. We also noticed our porch light would not work except in the month of October, especially at Halloween. We had an electrician check it out, but to no avail. This lasted the whole 5 years we lived there. One bright morning around 7:30, I was setting up toys for the daycare. I was the only one awake and my husband had left for work. In my right ear, I heard very clearly a whispered, "Hello." I looked around to find only empty space. A few weeks later, a strong scent of roses emanated from the basement. We had open stairs leading up the basement with only a child gate barring the stairs, so the stairwell was open and the bottom of the stairs completely visible. No flowers were in the home, and I stopped wearing scented lotions and perfumes after becoming a mum. It's important to note I was never scared of this phenomena, which is surprising, but it didn't happen all that often. We would joke about the house being haunted, but clearly there was something going on. In the course of our time in that neighbourhood, we learned that the original owner, a man named Gary, died in the master bedroom of a heart attack. He'd been a police officer, and he and his wife had one son. We also found out he died in October, in brackets, hence the porch light. When a neighbour described his appearance, it matched exactly who my son said he'd seen in the basement. In due time, my husband got a new job and we moved out of state. We found a renter and they kept the home for 7 years. Sadly, just this past September, we discovered the renter literally trashed the home, so much to the point it was unlivable, and abandoned the property without telling us or the property manager. It was heartbreaking. Fortunately, there was a couple who was living across the street with the wife's mother, who is an original owner in the neighbourhood. The couple flips houses and found this to be a good opportunity. Though there was a great deal of work to do and we took a massive loss, we were happy someone was bringing it back to life. The wife has been in touch with us from time to time to share progress. They have gutted the upstairs entirely and have begun working in the basement. Just yesterday, she sent a message. This was April the 23rd, by the way. She sent a message to my husband asking if we had a ghost in the house. She went on to share with us that they've been tearing down sheetrock in the basement, and up near the ceiling, her husband found a 2x4 that gave him pause. Written on the board were the words, "Larry, I love you." Her husband's name? Larry. She told my husband they don't believe in ghosts, but this was incredible. My husband shared with her our stories to corroborate her experience. I like to think that Gary is happy the renters are gone and that Larry has saved the day. Thank you for sharing my story and keep up the great work. I have a few more stories that I may send in as well. Please do, Mindy, because that was absolutely brilliant. I mean, I don't know whether we can stretch that to say, though, like, you know, he's found a 2x4 in the ceiling and etched on it is, "I love you, Larry." Was it "I love you, Larry"? Did you say, "Oh, thank you, Larry"? What did it say? Let me just remind myself what it said. It says, "Larry, I love you." Interesting. And we think that was from Gary. Gary loves Larry. Why not? It rhymes. What a story, though. I love a good haunted house story. I like to think as well that hopefully the evil gets who had your house, who trashed it, I hope that they were scared out by Magnum, the ghost of Magnum. Or he was like, is that the 18? Kevin, know your 80s themes, for God's sake. But thank you, Minnie. Sincerely, send the rest of your stories in because that was great. Okay, dokie, should we have one more? I think we shall. Also, just to say, Mindy's followed that up with a picture of the 2x4 with the writing on it. I'm going to put that on the Facebook group. Yet another reason to go and join the We Need to Talk About Facebook group. Facebook group? Yes, there's a bus. There's 40 of us on it. It's overcrowded. No, go and join the Facebook group. Yes, do. You'll see that picture of the 2x4 with "Larry, I love you" written on it. Was it a ghost? We'll never know. Okay, so our final story today has come in from my good friend Tony in Oz. Yes, Mr. Tony Evans. And he's just sent in a little short story and it goes like this. "Hi, guys. Hi. This is a little fresh story as it only happened to me yesterday. And again, this was towards the end of April. This does not need reading out." I think it does, Tony. Just thought you'd like this as I'm not sure if this has happened to you. "I was out in my garden putting out the washing. We live in a courtyard style complex with houses on each side. And unlike most houses, they seem to have floors. So people could see me and I could see them. It was a still morning, warm and quiet. Just about to finish and I hear in my right ear the loudest voice shout, 'No.' I turn to see Karen in the kitchen, but the sliding doors are closed. There was no one in any windows or gardens, and even if there was, it would never have been so clear. The voice was neither female or male. Strangely, I was not scared or shaken. When I told my daughter Clementine, in brackets a big fan of yours and the paranormal, she freaked out. It's odd because normally I would be the same, but this time, no. It could have been a family member. For example, I've been thinking about my granddad a lot of late. Hope this finds you well," from Tone. Bloody hell, Tony. I like that. You know what? Get on this, guys. That's the second story today where a voice in the right ear. Do we think the right ear is the voice the spirits whisper into? You know, isn't it meant to be the devil's on your left, God's on your right or whatever? Maybe the world of spirits is just over our right shoulder. Maybe that's the case. If you've got any stories about whispers and stuff, because I know there's a lot of stories like that. The nearest I've got to that is, I've told you all in the past about my astral projection experience as a 16-year-old, which I swear blind to this day happened. But when I tried to astrally project, because I'm a weirdo, since then, not since, I don't do it now, but when I did try many times after it worked that one time, I did have a couple of occasions where I'd be lying there on the floor or wherever, and I'd hear like whooshing sounds in my ears, and then like a whip snapping, like a whip cracking even, like a whoosh. And there was obviously no additional sounds in the house, so that was very strange. But I've never had that, like a voice whisper in my ear. But if I did, I wonder if it'd be the right one. So hopefully, I like to think there's someone listening to this now who's just got a chill down the spine, because today they've been walking around the house, going about the business, and somebody's went like, Haribo jellies in the ears or something. Maybe not Haribo jellies, but you know, something spooky. And if you have, let us know. Contact at talkaboutghosts.com. Okay, let's see what lovely correspondence you guys have been sending in this week. Now, as you may have seen on the Facebook group, the wonderful Danny has offered, during this time, free tarot card readings, and me and Becca are going to get one done each. Yes, we are. So, Danny, thank you for your email. We will get back to you this week with those questions that we'd like answering on a tarot. Yes, indeed. And then we're going to do a whole episode about them where me and Becca are going to read them out and discuss whether we believe them or not. Yeah, well, not believe them or not. You know what I mean? I'll take it all with a healthy pinch of belief, and Becca will take it all with a massive pinch of salt. Yes, she will. But that'll be great, Danny. Thank you so much for offering that. Yes. Scott Walton's been in touch after reading a story out last week. He says, hi again, just a quick one to say, I still have my original copy of the Usborne books, World of the Unknown. Yes. I was lucky enough to get the omnibus with ghosts, UFOs and monsters. I remember that book. I never ever got that from the library. I got the individual ones, but that one was always out. I love these books, he says. Funnily enough, I've referenced them many times throughout life. I can remember bringing it out at a party one night to explain Black Shuck to a friend after playing the eponymous Darkness song. I didn't know the Darkness had a song called Black Shuck. About the fabled black dog, maybe. It had one eye in those books, didn't it? I think I remember rightly. We've also had the chairman of the board back, yeah baby, the chairman of the Ouija board, Mr. Anthony Ward, chairman of the Ouija board. He has indeed sent an email in. And now you'll remember that I divulged that and within my family tree, my dad's cousin, I don't know the guy, but he was a gangster in Australia. I mentioned it a while back as well. Tony gave me some information too. But Anthony got in touch to say, haven't written in a while. Hope you and Becca are well during this time. We are, and we hope you and yours are well too. Thanks, Anthony. He says, you mentioned that you're related to Tony Spaghetti Eustace. And yes, I am indeed. He says, I knew that name sounded familiar from somewhere. And here's a Wikipedia link about the criminal underworld he was involved in. Thank you. Yes. And thank you for that, Anthony. As I say, I'll find the link where there was a drama of it, of his murder, as part of this big criminal true crime series in Australia. And I found a link to it, and it's badly acted, man. It really is. And he's got like the worst Scouse accent. It's like, hello, guys. What can I do you for? And then he's shot. But I'll find that link and put it on the Facebook group, because that'll be fun, won't it? Well, fun, but you know what I mean? Interesting. Jessamy's been in touch as well. They've submitted some quiz questions, so thank you, Jessamy. And we've also had an email from Carla Miller, and she says, hi, Kevin Beck. Hi.
Hi.
Just wanted to let you drop you a line to let you know that early today I caught up on the episode where Becca was singing the Bob Dylan song that Kevin didn't know. About an hour later, in my car on my way home from work, I turned on the radio to my local indie music station, and that song was playing. I'd never heard it before, but I recognised it immediately thanks to Becca's singing. No way. She says, coincidence? Never. Haunted? Possibly. She's from Utah. There is no way you recognise that from Becca singing. Honest to God, I don't recognise Becca when she's singing. I think bats and cats don't recognise Becca when she's singing. I'm joking. She's got a lovely voice. Citation needed. Okay, let's see what reviews you guys have been leaving. Well, we've had a lovely 5-star review from the patron that is Louise France. And she says, 5 stars, such a sad episode, episode 116. And then she goes on to say something which I need to mention. She says, I'm a patron member. I'm supposed to receive a badge, but I moved before I got it. Can you please resend it? Then Louise, you've put your address on the review. I would strongly suggest amending that or editing it, if you could. That'd be great. Now, in reference to badges and stuff, yes, of course, we will resend a badge out. If any of our wonderful patrons haven't received badges, you do need to let me know. I'm putting together a mass postage for when I next get to the post office. It's not going to be anytime soon due to, obviously, what's going on, the naughty C word, but I'm collating a list of things that need to go. So do let me know if you haven't received anything that you're due to receive, and I'll add you to the list. Okay. In the meantime and in between time, guys, you're all absolutely bloody wonderful human beings. I love each and every one of you. I know that's impossible, but I like to say it anyway. And I like to think that there's some possibilities in it. You never know. I was reading about panpsychism this week. Have you read about panpsychism? The idea that everything in the world is conscious. Read it. It blows your mind. And I tell you what, you don't slam down a cup again because you're like, sorry, Mr. Cup, please be kind to me. Anyway, guys, I love you all. And we will see you next Saturday for the quiz. We will also see you next Sunday for another episode of this, a proper episode. Me and Becca together again. And through the week, we'll do some more. We don't need to talk about ghosts, where we don't talk about ghosts, just to drill that home. Because we did have an email saying, there's no ghost stories on this. It was like, yes, because the ones through the week are just a bit extra. So you hear a voice and we can do something. Yeah, I think that's about it information-wise. So if you're a Patreon, you're going to hear me and Becca talking now because I'm about to go and annoy her for a good 20-odd minutes, half an hour. And if you want to become a Patreon, sign up patreon.com/we-need-to-talk-about-ghost. In the meantime, in between time, go sign up for the quiz. There's nothing to sign up to, actually. Just be there at 8 o'clock next week. I love you all. Send your stories in. Contact us to talk about ghosts. I think that's everything. It's late in the afternoon. I've had a lot of coffee. I think it's time to go and try and relax. And I suggest you do the same. Tatty bye, everyone.